Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesarino here with our special Monday edition of Exit Interview Podcast. Today, I'm going to be speaking with the latest player blindsided out of Survivor, David versus Goliath, and that is Daniel Rengering. He will be with me shortly to talk about everything from this past week's episode, and then we'll get into talking with Jordan Kalish on the This Week in Survivor History quiz, all coming up here in this episode. And then we've got so much coming up and so much that we've gotten into the podcast feed over the weekend. Of course, the Survivor Know-It-Alls from Wednesday night. And then I had a pair of really fun podcasts over the last couple of days. I spoke with the Queen, Sandra Diaz-Twine, the only two-time winner of Survivor. And I talked to her on Friday afternoon and had a really fun podcast. If you haven't checked that one out, that's up at robiswebsite.com and in our podcast feeds. And then yesterday I talked to Sophie Clark and I thought such a fun conversation about where we are now in the game at the final 10 and Sophie's thoughts on everything. And we did a really interesting deep dive into what's going on with the couple of players that ended up voting for Angelina at that tribal council and what's going on with the trifecta of Allison and Kara and Alec and where they are in terms of the game and what they can do. So I had a really fun conversation with Sophie. Be sure to check that out. And then before we get to talking with Dan, it is the Cyber Monday. So many deals going on and there's so many great deals going on at Amazon.com. And we do have a associate link to our storefront where you can purchase everything you need on Amazon.com. Get all of those great Cyber Monday deals on Amazon and help support Rob as a Podcast in the process. The link for that is Amazon.com. That's easy to remember. Amazon.com, like the season of Survivor that I played on. Amazon.com/shop. Because that's what you're going to do. That's the verb. Amazon.com/shop/RHAP. That's the podcast. So it's Amazon.com. I'm breaking it into sectors. And sector one is Amazon.com. Sector two is shop. Amazon.com/shop. And then sector three is RHAP. So Amazon.com/shop/RHAP. And that's the link to get to our storefront. And wherever you go from there, that all still counts for helping to support Rob is a Podcast. So I do appreciate anybody who is taking the time to at least attempt to memorize that. Of course, you can click on the banner and the link on robhasawebsite.com. All right, we got Dan on the line. Let's get to Dan and patch him in. Dan, good morning.
Hey, Rob. How you doing, man?
Doing okay. How are you?
I'm doing good. Doing good.
Dan, let's get into this episode and this tribal council from the other night. Is it any consolation that if you're going to go out on Survivor to go out in a big historic way?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, there was at that point there was nothing that I can do. So I mean, can't be upset about it. I mean, they played two advantages, a new advantage that nobody knew about. I mean, it's bittersweet.
Okay.
Because of all that.
All right, talk us through going back to that night. So Nick stands up. He takes a vote from Allison. You end up going to play the idol on yourself. Was that just complete self-preservation, or what alerted you to think that the votes were actually going to be for you?
Well, before we went to tribal council, Christian actually told me, he told me that it was going to be me. And when I had no clue about the vote still, and I thought I was, as you can see, I asked Kara because I was really unsure about what they were trying to do. Did Christian lie to me? Was Nick trying to pull a fast one and try and blindside me a little bit by playing that? So I was really kind of conflicted and confused about what to do. And then it turned into, I have to save myself for sure. You know, I can only fight so hard to save other people. And then I eventually got to save myself.
Okay. So you mentioned that moment when you say to Kara, should I play the idol on Allison? And then she whispers to you and we don't get to hear what she says. Do you remember what she said to you?
I don't remember verbatim, but she definitely told me to play it for myself.
Okay. Do you feel like that she was in on the plot or was she blindsided as well?
Well,
based only on what you knew that night.
Okay. Based on what I knew at that point, I didn't think she was in on it. I mean, why would she tell me to play it on myself if she was in on getting me out? That was kind of my logic there.
Let's talk a little bit about Kara. Just brochacho to unofficial brochacho here, okay? Now, on the island, it did seem like it seemed like that you had fallen for Kara, but there had been talk the whole way through, going even back to Jeremy, that, you know, Dan has a showmance, but Kara has a strategy. When you watch that back, were you surprised to see some of Kara's feelings about the bonds that you felt like you guys had on the island?
Well, for me, Kara was just the person that I connected with the most from the jump. And I'm the type of person, I like to springboard my ideas off of people, even in my personal life. I talk out my big decisions that I make. And she was just that person that I talked to out there. I mean, I shared everything with her because I like to talk things out and hear it backboard it back to me and hear other people's perspectives on decisions that I make. And that's what she was for me.
Now, Dan, tell me, have you changed your dog's name now?
Oh no, man. My dog was that before her.
Before her?
Well, before she,
how old is your dog?
She was, that was my dog. Well, that was my dog's name before I knew her. So no, okay. I mean, I was pot committed. She's over a year old, man. Come on.
Okay. But you haven't given your dog like a new nickname now?
No, man. No, not at all.
Okay.
She's still Kara.
Okay.
After Supergirl.
Right, right. Not after the woman from Survivor. Okay. So going into that tribal council that night, then, could you just describe what was the Goliath game plan as far as you knew?
Well, as far as I knew, we were going to vote out Christian because in our minds, he was the biggest threat. Some we tried once before, talked about it the time before that. He was the most dangerous. I mean, that guy sees the game four steps ahead of everybody else. He's this freaking genius. A good genius, actually.
Yes.
And and like, he was the biggest threat. So we were the person, I felt like if we took Christian out, the Davids were going to fall just like dominoes after that.
I want to talk a little bit about Angelina. You used your idol at the previous tribal council to save her on the night, ultimately, then when John went home. But when you watch back the episode, were you surprised to see Angelina, and you were talking about getting rid of her as well, but were you surprised to see that Angelina was also excited about the idea of getting rid of you sooner than later?
Not really. I mean, at that point, we clashed a lot because we had different views on who needed to go out. I viewed Christian whenever that first episode after the merge, I viewed Christian as an ally, somebody I could trust because he was giving me information. I was giving him information. He was a brochacho. So no, not at all, because she's the type of person she's typically one of the smartest people in any room she walks in. She's really intelligent and she expects people to listen whenever she says things. So I wasn't surprised at all whenever she was upset that I was one of the ringleaders in pushing with the pushback against what she thought.
Going back to then when you guys got to the merge, that there was seemingly a consensus, okay, let's go after Christian because he is the biggest target. That ultimately got changed back to Elizabeth. Can you talk about how that decision ultimately came about?
Well, we wanted to keep as much cohesion amongst the camp. And we knew if we, and from what everybody was telling me, I mean, you even see Carl whispering, everybody wanted Elizabeth out. So we're like, okay, you guys want to hand us David on a silver platter? By all means, let's do it. We'll keep our numbers big. We'll make a bigger gap and we won't cause major rifts and we'll just keep coming after you guys next time. So it wasn't too hard to get rid of Elizabeth over Christian
And you seemed upset about the idea of getting rid of Christian on that vote. But then the following vote, you were gung ho to get rid of Christian. So what changed in your mind in terms of viewing Christian as the next target?
Well, it was taking the head off the snake. Like I said, Christian's one of the smartest guys I've ever met. Definitely, he was seeing the game four steps ahead. You know, I knew that by getting to know him on a personal level. And so it just seemed like the right time. And we all knew and felt like if a David were to make it all the way to the end, they were going to win it all. And everybody firmly believed that Christian more than likely had the best chance to make it all the way to the end.
It seemed like that you guys really developed that bond with Christian after the swap, you and John and Christian. And then it seemed like after the merge that went by the wayside very quickly. Do you feel like that if you had to do it over again, that is a relationship that you guys should have cultivated more following the merge?
Yeah, probably so. I think what probably hurt me and maybe John in the long run was being on Tiva and not having to go to tribal at all. So we never really talked a whole lot of strategy, at least not that I can recall, because there was really never a need to. So we never got to that point in the game with Christian until it was almost too late. So yeah, that's definitely something I wish I could have cultivated a lot more and talked a lot more about with him.
Have you and John ever talked about whether you guys should have thrown a challenge potentially before you guys got to the merge and maybe taken out either a Gabby or Christian?
No, not at all. I mean, me and John were gung-ho on winning. We didn't want to lose. We didn't want anybody to go. So we didn't want Allison to go because she was one of our Goliath members. We didn't want Christian to go because he was a brochacho. And, I mean, the show doesn't show a whole lot of interaction between Gabby and us. But, I mean, we like Gabby, too. She was part of the Tiva tribe. We didn't want any of our five to go.
At the start of this last episode, you seemed very upset after the tribal council where John went home. Was that because John went home or was that because that you ended up using an idol on Angelina?
I would say it's a healthy combination of both. You know, I felt like, yeah. I mean, I was with John every single day up until he left, and he was my second closest ally for sure. I love that guy. And then I felt, then you see how the votes played out, and I didn't really need to play one for Angelina to keep her around. So it was kind of wasted. Mm-hmm. The only only thing I got out of playing an idol for Angelina was it tied her to me for the rest of the game. At least I felt like at that point. And it proved to Goliath that, hey, I'm here to play with you guys. I got you guys' back. Let's make this happen together.
Were you aware that there was at least a couple of the Goliaths that were at least having these flirtations with working with the Davids? We saw right after the merge where it was Alec, Mike, and Allison. And then this week we saw that it was Kara, Allison, and Alec having these conversations with the Davids. Was that sort of off your radar that those conversations were happening?
Well, we all assumed that Alec was. I mean, that guy was the first one to flip on all of us Goliaths when voting out Natalia. So, I mean, there was no telling what he was going to do. I had no clue about Kara. I had no clue about Allison. Made some assumptions about Mike, but had no clear answers, you know, because, you know, Mike's a slick guy. He's a smart guy. He's pretty smooth out there.
Mm-hmm. After the vote where then John went home, was there any talk amongst the Goliaths of how did the Davids know that we were putting the votes on Christian and what are we doing to figure out who the leak is?
We talked about it. I don't think that we ever came to like a clear understanding of who it was. You know, we know now who it was, but mm-hmm. we definitely talked about it, but everybody kept preaching Goliath strong, Goliath strong, Goliath strong. So we kind of just were like, okay, maybe they were just really smart and figured it out because they got Christian over there and that guy's a genius. So it wasn't too surprising if they just figured it out.
Can you give us the origin? Where did genius come from?
I don't know, man. Sometimes I just say stuff and it comes out. Like, I don't even know where that came from. Mm-hmm. It just kind of happened. Right. Kind of like brochachos. I didn't even think about it. It just happened.
It happened. And yeah, you guys went all in on the brochachos. Have you been inundated with applications for people that want to be part of the brochachos? And how are you screening people?
Oh, yeah. I told them to email me at brochachos@danielrunding.com. You know, Christian told me he's going to work on an algorithm. We'll come up with something, start screening people, letting people know if they can be an official brochacho or not.
Did you have a relationship with Nick at all after the merge? Because we've seen Nick have so many different one-on-ones with people, but I feel like that you're one of the few people that we haven't seen him have pull aside and have some sort of either a nickname or some sort of a relationship with.
We talked a little bit, but it wasn't a whole lot. We kind of had like a surface level relationship. I mean, Nick grew up in a small town. I grew up in a small town and, you know, kind of in the country. And that was really it. We never talked any strategy. I'm kind of disappointed I didn't have an alliance nickname with Nick. It hurts my feelings a little bit, to be honest. But no, I didn't have a whole lot to do with him, unfortunately.
Dan, should the idol nullifier come back in another season of Survivor?
Oh, man. That's a tough one, man. The idol nullifier, it should, absolutely. If it's going to get me, it's got to get somebody else, right? I can't be the last one and the only one to get nullified out.
Why? That makes you special if you're the only person that it got.
I don't want to be the last one, man. I can't be the only one. That's just not right. I mean, I feel like the game of Survivor, what's great about it is it's constantly growing. It's constantly changing. And that's like what makes it so great.
Like you, Dan.
And like me. Thanks, Rob. And, you know, now that's just a whole different aspect of the game that people have to plan for. You know, okay, I have an idol. Big whoop. Somebody can nullify it. You know, it makes it even more of a big deal to keep it a secret. You know, unfortunately, I had to learn that lesson the hard way. And, you know, it's it's a part of the game now. I don't think it should ever go away, personally.
How interested are you in a second trip out to Survivor?
Rob, if they call me today and say they want to meet in Fiji next week, I'd drop everything and go.
Okay.
In a heartbeat.
You loved it?
Oh, I loved it. Single greatest experience of my life, man. I absolutely loved it.
All right.
You're going to make some phone calls for me, right?
Well, if I do it for you, then that's really going to do it for a lot of people. Good to know. Dan, and then last thing that I know everybody knows about your journey with weight loss and, you know, how great of a job you did. Was it hard then after you went on Survivor then to not put on more weight after you came back? Because I know a lot of the players struggle with that.
Well, I mean, at Ponderosa, I definitely put on some weight. I mean, my body was so jacked up. But once I got home, I kind of got back into the routine of things pretty quickly. I mean, when I got back 2 days later, I was back at work. So, I mean, it wasn't too hard. On Ponderosa, it was brutal. I mean, they brought you anything and everything. Like, if you wanted it, you got it for the most part. It was nice. So that was difficult. But me and John made sure we worked out and all the time. Me and John made sure we worked out every day. So it wasn't too
you
bad.
Had a buddy.
No,
accountability partner.
Had a buddy.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Dan. Well, so nice to talk to you that I do have on my Christmas list this year one of those fake friends t-shirts. I am asking my wife
sure
if she can get that for me. Yeah. All right.
All right. Tell her to go order it.
No, she's mad at you. You were her winner pick now. So you're
right. Hey, I know. I listen to that. I'm sorry. Tell her I'm sorry I disappointed her. I did my best.
I'll let her know. All right, Dan, I know you got to run. Thank you so much, okay?
All right. Thanks, Rob. We'll see you.
All right. Take care. Bye. Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, man.
Bye. All right, everybody. There you have it. Daniel Rengering in good spirits after the big blindside from the other night. And yeah, I'd love to get my hands on one of those shirts. I can't wait to see the look on Nicole's face walking around in my F fake friends t-shirt around the house. Okay. All right. So we are going to now switch gears, bring in Jordan Kalish for the first of two this week in Survivor History segments this week. So here he is. Let's play some This Week in Survivor History.
Twish.
Yes, a special first of two this week in Survivor Histories on this special Monday edition of the Exit Interview. And here to talk about everything going on from technically last week in Survivor History, the man who's just come out of a dark meat turkey coma, the great Jordan Kalish. Jordan, how are you?
I'll say I just woke up and I was on Twitter looking at all the Twitch feedback, and what everyone was saying is we need Twitch twice a week now. So for this week only, special edition, we're doing a Last Week in Survivor History today, and then we're going to be doing This Week in Survivor History on the next Exit Interview like we normally do.
I mean, this is going to be a crazy week for the Exit Interview, because not only do we have an Exit Interview today, we have a double Exit Interview coming up on Thursday following the double episode of the show. So does that mean we have to play Twitch three times?
No, I think we could just do one episode of Twitch and put it on at the end of the two Exit Interviews.
Right. Sounds good. All right, Jordan, tell us about who you brought with me to challenge on this special Cyber Monday edition of This Week in Survivor History.
All right, so we have a guy here who is a Survivor History expert, and the reason I know this is that a couple of years ago we had something called the Legacy Advantage, where I reached out to a lot of the RHEP podcasters and a lot of the listeners, and this person is one of three people who got all the questions right when he was answering the Twitch questions that week. The two other people, Paul Osselson, who defeated you on This Week in Survivor History, and I believe the other one was Johnny De Silveira, but we have the third. It is Michael Clark, Wandav superstar, who is also a Pats and a Yankee fan, but we're not going to focus on that too much today.
Yes, and a fellow podcaster, host of the Pilot Season podcast. Please welcome Michael Clark. Michael, how are you?
I'm doing great, Rob. Jordan, thank you for having me on Twitch.
Yes.
I'm excited.
Yes.
Michael is riding high after that Patriots win over the Jets this weekend. Please, you don't need to rub our faces in it, Michael. We all saw what happened.
I am one of the most tolerable Yankee / Patriot fans you will ever meet.
That no not such thing. In the state of Connecticut.
All right. Well, we'll take your word for that. Yeah. We don't want to, you know, talk to 500 of them and see how they all are. Okay.
Yeah, so Michael, I've seen on Twitter you're the person who when it comes to Twitch roots for the contestant who wins that week, right? You pick who you're rooting for after the result comes out.
Yes, that's very funny. Very
heavy dose of shade from these ghoulish opening. I'm not used
witty
to
witty observation about my rooting preferences, Deez. Yeah.
I'm not used to Jordan attacking the guests.
It's okay. Michael's a friend of mine. He's been to my house on multiple occasions to watch football. So I think I'm allowed a little bit of leeway here. But very, very exciting guest. As I said before, Michael knows his Survivor history, and I think it's going to be a good matchup today.
Okay. All right. We will see about that. We'll get to the quiz in just one moment. Let me just take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the This Week in Survivor History Quiz. And those are our friends over at Stamps.com. And let me just say, I love Stamps.com. I have been using Stamps.com for several years. It is a great solution for anybody who runs a small business like myself. Of course, a lot of people know in terms of the Patreon program that we have. We do a lot of shipping of things from our house. It used to be very inconvenient to go down to the post office, have to figure out what I was doing with stamps and figuring out, hey, this one is going to Canada. Can I get a 5-cent stamp? And now I don't worry about any of that because of Stamps.com, especially with the holidays coming up. A lot of us are doing mass mailings, and Stamps.com brings all of the services of the U.S. Post Office right to your desktop. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, package, and any class of mail using your own computer and printer. Then the mail carrier picks it up. No trips to the post office. And of course, it is especially busy down there this time of year. Print postage any day, anytime. Stamps.com is always open, much like those Patriots receivers this weekend. Stamps.com not only saves you time, it saves you money as well. And Stamps.com helps you print the right amount of postage every single time. Never overpay again. With Stamps.com, you'll get discounts on postage that you can't even get at the post office. And with all the time and money you'll save, Stamps.com is the best gift you can give yourself. And really, everybody knows those are the best kind, the gifts you give yourself this holiday season. So check out Stamps.com, which has been an incredible help for me over these last couple of years. And right now, you too can enjoy the Stamps.com service with a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale without a long-term commitment. So go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in RHAP, that's Stamps.com, and enter RHAP. All right. So where are we going in terms of This Week in Survivor History categories, Jordan?
All right. So as always, we have 4 questions. Each of you are going to be able to answer 2 of these questions. Just to rehash, if you answer correctly and you don't receive the multiple choice options, you get 2 points. If you do need the multiple choice options, you get 1 point. And if you go for 2 and you are wrong, your opponent has a chance to steal a point. So the categories that we have for you today, we have Raro No, Cookie Party, Pizza and Beer, and Bye Bye Tie Dye. Michael, as the guest, you get to choose first.
I will, in honor of my friends in the Pizza and Beer Alliance, go with Pizza and Beer.
I had a feeling you might be going there. Yes, Michael Clark, a big member of the Pizza and Beer Alliance, comes to our Survivor viewings, our Mafia games, always claims that he's a civilian, even though he's usually lying. So we have Pearl Island, Swimming with the Sharks, from November 20th, 2003. This is 15 years ago, last Tuesday. Who does Burton give his fishing catamaran pizza and beer feast to after winning the reward challenge?
I believe he gives it to Rupert.
Rupert, unfortunately, is incorrect, which means Rob, you get to you have a chance here to steal a point.
Okay. Can I ask a question? Are you looking for one person, or are you looking for two people?
I'm asking for the one person who Burton gave his fishing catamaran pizza and beer feast to.
Okay, then I will say that person was Lil.
Lil is also incorrect. So Burton and Lil, it was a team challenge where Burton and Lil both won. Burton had actually promised Rupert that he would give him the reward if he had won, because Rupert had given Burton a previous reward. But it's actually a fair play who Burton takes. So Rupert's
real
very angry about this. Yes, Lil was on the reward. Lil was on the reward, but fair play was the one who Burton gave it to. Yeah. So none of you get a point on that question. How's that? I mean, Burton didn't give it to fair
play. Lots of groans being heard around the world right now.
I don't think so. I think that's a fair. It's a fair question. It's a fair question.
Michael, Will fair won question that on, or no?
Well, I mean, I was way off the boat, so I don't have really much of a leg to stand on. But no, I agree. Bad question.
What is the fourth category, Jordan?
The fourth category is bye-bye tie-dye.
I'll go with bye-bye tie-dye.
Okay, so we're going to stick to that same episode in Survivor Pearl Islands. Whose blow dart knocked Rupert out of the immunity challenge before his boot tribal?
Boy, this is a tough spot because I feel like I know the names you're going to tell me in the multiple choice, but I'll go big or go home. I'll say it was Burton.
It was not Burton. So, Michael, you now actually have a chance to steal.
This is a shot in the dark. I've not seen Pearl Islands in a long time. I will say it was Sandra inadvertently.
Sandra inadvertently. So this is a season, as I said before, 15 years ago. But yes, the shot in the dark paid off. Sandra did accidentally knock Rupert out of the challenge. So Michael, you receive a point there. It was a blow dart challenge. I kind of miss those challenges where they get some sort of either like axe or a dart that they have to knock people out of. I think they're a lot of fun. They haven't done them in a while. Michael, you have a 1-0 lead, and it is your turn to choose the next category.
Give me Raro No.
Okay, so we're going to go to Survivor Cook Islands. Why Would You Trust Me? From November 23rd, 2006. That's 12 years ago last Friday. One of the reasons Penner turns on his Raro alliance at the merge is that they refuse to consider voting for anyone else besides Yule, who he knows has the idol. Who suggests appeasing Jonathan by putting the votes on someone else at the merge tribal in order to prevent him from potentially flipping?
Okay, I do not know the answer. However, I think I'm going to play a little defense because I know what names you'll give, and I don't want to give Rob the opportunity at a steal. So,
some strategy on this week in Survivor.
Give me the names.
All right. Was it A, Nate, B, Adam, C, Parvati, D, Candace?
Okay. I think that it was Nate.
Unfortunately, it was not Nate. It was actually Adam, who was the one who said it here, and probably one of the better examples of Adam's strategic prowess here, because the rest of the season, I think it was a little bit non-existent. But yeah, Adam was like, look, maybe we shouldn't piss off the guy who's the potential swing vote and vote for who he wants to vote for. But he
get faded.
Yes, Penner knew that Yule had the idol and therefore knew it was a bad decision for them and ended up flipping to the I24. So Michael, you do not receive a point there. You still have a 1-0 lead, and Rob, you get the last question before the final round, which is Cookie Party, and we're going to go to Survivor Gabon. The episode is Nothing Tastes Better Than $500 from November 20th, 2008, and that's 10 years ago last Tuesday.
Contractually not allowed to talk about this episode if I want to have Randy Bailey back on the podcast ever again.
I don't know if Randy Bailey is listening, but it is about the scene that Randy
listening.
Might not want you to talk
Randy,
about.
So, I don't want to talk about this.
Not Rob's choice. This is my question, Randy. If you want to blame me, you can blame me. So, Cookie Party. How many Survivor Gabon contestants did not eat at least one cookie at the auction?
I would like to hear the multiple choices.
Okay, was it A1, B2, C3, D4?
Okay. How many Survivor Gabon contestants did not eat a cookie? I will say it was one.
One is incorrect. Michael, you do not get a chance to steal here because Rob heard the multiple choice options. It's actually three. Randy gives his cookie away, as we famously remember. Sugar gives Randy's cookie to Maddie, and then Bob was actually sent away from this auction earlier in the Bob was sent away from the auction earlier on due to Ken Wong getting to steal somebody's money and sending somebody to Exile Island. So Bob was not there for this whole thing. So it was three people who didn't get to eat cookies at this very, very famous auction moment in Survivor history. So Rob, you have 0 points going into the final round. Michael, you have won a low scoring game here, but as you know, either of you can score up to 3 points in this final round. So
Rob,
we're going to the death match.
Is it just me, or are these questions ridiculous this week?
Welcome to my world, Michael. Sorry, I didn't have my pen out and counting how many people ate what rewards.
Well, look, you would have had to know that you should have known. I think that Randy and Sugar did not eat cookies.
You know what? At PineappleBoy27, anybody that's listening and knew the answer to that question, like, oh yeah, I know, I remember that this person distinctly did eat a cookie, and this person said that they weren't hungry.
And Andy Layton definitely got that question right. She loves cookies when it comes to Survivor. So we're going to go to the death match. This game is called Final Words. I will give you final words said by people voted out this week in Survivor history. Out of two choices, you must pick the person who said these final words. So pretty simple game. Four answers will be given during this round. If you're incorrect, you may not gain any more points unless we go to a tiebreaker. Therefore, if you're incorrect in your first response, you open the door for your opponent to gain 3 points on this round. If it's still a tie, we will go to a tiebreaker. Rob, you are trailing here, so you get to choose first. There are six of these, so you get to choose a number between 1 and 6.
I'm sorry, in the long explanation of how the game works, I missed the what are we trying to figure out here?
I will give you final words said by somebody voted out this week in Survivor history. Okay. I will give you multiple choice, so there's only going to be two options. So it's either you're either going to be right or you're going to be wrong, and you got to guess who it is.
All right,
simple
game. I will go with number 4.
Number 4. Okay, so, well, you guys won fair and square, and I'm glad I didn't do anything at any time to dishonor myself from my mother. You know I played a fair game and I lost, and I lost because I was strong, and I didn't think there are many people who can say that they lost because they were strong. Was that Chris Hammonds from Millennials versus Gen X or Clarence Black from Africa? You need to get this right to stay alive in this place.
Yes. I will say that was Clarence Black.
Clarence Black is correct. Rob, you tie it up. Clarence Black always, you know, he's always comparing Diane Ogden to his mother, always talking about his mom here. So that was a little bit of a clue there. We have a tie game. Michael, if you get this right, we keep going. If you get this wrong, actually, we keep going either way. Okay. So Michael, choose a number from 1 through 6, but you take the lead here if you get it right. So you can't pick 4, 1 through 6, except for 4.
Give me 2.
Okay. They got me. They pulled a fast one on me. I did not see that coming at all. I was so forthcoming with everyone with my alliance. I thought we were all set. I don't know. I don't have an alliance, obviously. I'm just shocked. That's all. It's too bad. Good guy lost. Good guy lost this time. Was that Jeremy Collins from San Juan del Sur or Jean Robert from Survivor China?
That was Jeremy Collins.
That was Jeremy Collins. So a little bit of foreshadowing there where he says, good guy lost this time. Of course, the next time he would play, he would win. So you have a 2-1 lead. Rob, you need to get this one right in order to stay alive. Choose a number.
Okay, I will go with number 5.
Okay, it hurts to leave this early in the game. Blank, so blank is somebody's name who's in the game. Kiss my ass. You were a dirty, stanky, whack fruitcake who sold me out and sold out our tribe when we brought you in. You betraying bastard. Kiss my ass, blank. Was that Jim Rice from South Pacific or Nate Gonzalez from Cook Islands?
Big Nate Gonzalez week this week.
That is Nate Gonzalez. Rob, you get a point there. It is 2-2. Michael, it is your turn here. So here are the stakes. This is the second round of the death match, meaning that if you get this right, you take a 3-2 lead and the game is over. If you're wrong, we go to a tiebreaker. So Michael, pick a number from 1 through 6. 4, 5.
Has six been used?
6 has not been used.
Are you sure you don't want to go with that one person just picks a number like that guy suggested on Twitter and then we
maybe next week. I kind of see the merits behind that. I like the number choosing though. But okay. Number 6, I think maybe we will do that next week. I believe that I'm sitting here tonight for a couple of reasons. One, because blank has always had it out for me, and two, that I think I was a physical threat. Clearly, it wasn't a good idea going into the first two immunity challenges and winning them back to back. Was this Joe Anglim in Cambodia or Laura Moret in Samoa? For the win.
For the win, give me Laura Moret.
Laura Moret, both of these people did win a lot of immunity challenges on their time on Survivor. You are correct, and you win the game 3-2. Michael, congratulations. You have defeated Rob here on last week in Survivor history.
Okay, well Thank struck. You. Well struck, Michael, that you're just having your way this week. What a coming in hot streak.
Yeah, Michael complaining about the questions, but he's still able to pull it out.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well done, Michael.
Yeah, you guys did well on that final game.
I will say it was an honor to come on and play. I remember back in high school when I was a senior, one day putting an away message on AIM, basically saying to my friends, just reading up on why my boy Rob lost in All-Stars. So it's funny that I'm on a podcast with you right now
and then
David Bloomberg.
Yes, and you've gone on to root for the same football team as Boston Rob. So that's really amazing coincidence.
It is.
Thank you, Michael. Michael, if people want to listen to Pilot Season, can you explain what the concept is for that podcast?
Absolutely. So I am a big TV fan, and I just go on with a lot of my friends, a lot of recognizable names to people that are in the patron community. And we talk about different TV pilots. I do old ones. I do new ones. And it's really a lot of fun. I'm really enjoying it. The people that I'm doing it with seem to enjoy it. So, it's been a great, great hobby. And it's really been probably the best thing going for me over the past couple months. Okay. So I think people would enjoy it. So check it out.
Michael, have you talked about the first episode of Survivor yet?
I have not yet. And my plan to do that is I would like to speak to someone who has never watched the show for that one, because I have too much of a Rolodex for Survivor super fans. I think it would be a fun experience to talk to a complete noob about it. So,
Are you going to use a conch shell to as your transition noise during the podcast?
I will make sure before my guest enters the ring that they ring a bell or ring a giant gong, and I'll have a chest full of money I'm staring at as I talk during that podcast. But
yes, you need a gong that goes. Okay. And then will you be ever doing a Pilot Season episode about the first episode of This Week in Survivor History?
Oh, that's a great question. I will.
First great question on this podcast.
I will have to talk to Deese offline about if he'd ever.
That's sort of like.
Never done a non TV show, but never say never.
That's sort of like a Pilot Season marries pod on pod. I like it.
Yeah, or that would be like a great April Fool's Day episode.
Yes.
I thought you said you wanted an April Fool's Day episode for me to do a second episode or a season finale. Either of those two.
Look, I have so many ideas, Michael. I can't keep track of them.
And they're all April Fool's related?
Yes. And I hate April Fool's Day. All right.
Because if people know anything about Rob, is that he loves pranks.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, Michael, really, really quick before you go, I'm guessing you probably have like a Golden State Warriors game to watch since you're a fan of that team as well. Who's the first survivor you think you followed on Twitter?
I legitimately do not remember.
It was actually Boston Rob. He just came up a little while ago.
Okay, how about that?
And it turns out you actually started following Nicole on Twitter before you started following Rob's sister, Nina.
All right, we'll talk offline about
awkward.
That. Yeah, thanks a lot. All right, follow Michael on Twitter. Unsuccess Story is your Twitter handle. Why that? Why'd you go with that?
It was a joke between friends. It's too long and too boring for a podcast. Okay. So there you go.
All right.
Michael, you still follow Jabba Chamberlain?
All right. This is an offline conversation. You guys work this out offline. All right. Deese, thank you. And we'll talk to you again on Thursday.
Yeah. Talk to you on Thursday, which coming up soon.
All right. Take care, guys. Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it, boy. And much like my Jets, I'm in a bit of a skid. I don't know if there's an easy solution like firing Todd Bowles to get back on the right path with This Week in Survivor History, but I will hopefully be able to get off the schneid very quickly as we get ready for our double exit interview coming up later on this week. So be on the lookout for that. So up next, we are going to get into everything for this week's Wiggle Room, which I expect to be another jam-packed edition of stuff between Josh Wiggler and talking about his interview with Nick Wilson and everything getting into this week's Wandoff. Very excited about that episode. I've got some news AF coming up, and then I will be back live with Stephen Fishback after the double episode of Survivor this week coming up at 10:15 p.m. Eastern time. And then don't forget about our double exit interview. I'll be talking with Todd Herzog on this week's recap, and then Rourke Luskin will be here with me in the studio for this week's feedback show. So really hope you guys are having fun with the podcast as much as I am right now. I will be back again soon. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.